Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's an expert on today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily ducks in a row, starting the new year off the right way. And joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran and industry educator, Stephanie Graves, CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. Welcome, Stephanie.
Good morning.
So we're at the time of year where we're getting ready to end the calendar year and go into the next year. And it seems to me like that is a very good time for people to kind of, as the title says, get their ducks in a row, prepare for what's going to happen next year. And I would imagine some of that preparation would entail looking back at the current year and trying to decide what needs to change and the types of things you want to change. And of course, everything in the multifamily industry, when it comes to properties, is driven by budget. So there's part of that game plan kind of laid out as far as what can be spent, but when to spend it and how to prepare for that and so forth, I think is something that our listeners would like to kind of get some ideas and tips and tricks on what they can do. So what's your thought? What do you do first?
Sure. Well, you know, it's a great time for resolution season, right? As you work on your resolutions for next year. I think utilizing your budget as kind of a roadmap for how you plan your year is really important. You know, you have the day-to-day operational things that you handle, but you also have employees that you need to think about and their reviews and their performance standards and kind of the expectation setting those clear. And it's kind of an opportunity too at the beginning of the year to kind of reset and look at what were our successes last year, what really worked well, what do we need to work on, how do we want to revamp ourselves. Maybe you need a fresh start in terms of marketing or those sorts of things. So starting and having kind of a meeting with your team and categorizing, okay, how are we going to deal with this year and what's going to be important? I think it's a great opportunity to kind of do that. And I would use the budget as a way to guide that conversation, but certainly not the end all, right? You know, as you're laying out your budget, you have your monthly expenses. And so hopefully, if you do budgets or you don't, there are some companies that don't do budgets. You can look at what those monthly expenses and expenditures are going to be. And then those different supplier partners that you utilize, you know, landscaping or pest control, kind of figuring out if those are going to be partners in the future is a good time. And then when you sit down and analyze that, you know, think about the seasons that we're going to encounter. You know, January is the time that it's a little slower in the office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're taking down those holiday decorations and planning for the new year. So as you start January and you're looking at rental payments and those sorts of things, take the opportunity to set standards and set timeframes in which you're going to address certain things. Mm-hmm. So I think if you categorize those into kind of preparing an annual calendar, mm-hmm. I think that's a great time in January to look at a calendar when you're going to do events, what you're going to focus on for leasing season, what you're going to focus, you know, during that leasing season in the spring to summer months, it gets so busy with traffic that you don't have time to think about those things. So taking January and February when it's a little slower to plan out what's going to happen will just kind of set the stage for a successful year.
And I would imagine when you're going through that process and you want to look back at last year or the current year or before you get to the new year, you want to look for things that maybe didn't go right. Mm-hmm. You want to look for things that you did right and see how to replicate those things. What do you recommend for that?
I mean, you know, I like to bring in the team and say, okay, let's talk about what we did really well and what we didn't do well. And this isn't judging, right? Mm-hmm. This is just, okay, like we had a really hard time getting applications sent out, or we had a really hard time getting leases sent out in a timely manner. You know, we have an e-lease system now where you can e-sign, and those provide, you know, great things, right? Because it provides an automated system, but it also is a little bit of a downfall because leasing agents send out the lease and it's almost like send it and forget it.
Right.
You move on to the next thing and then you're like, oh, wait, did he ever sign that? Did I get it back?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really going over the lease with people? So sitting down with each team member and saying, okay, what are three things we did really well last year that were successes that we want to replicate or expand on? And what are three things that we struggled with that we really want to make sure that we're not reactive to and proactive to in the future? You know, starting with just three things, I think sets the stage for the future and what you're going to do. And getting the team involved in that, you know, you have to have buy-in from your team. And I think as a, you know, for me, everything starts with that manager position. And so as a manager, whether you're analyzing how maybe corporate did things well for you, or you didn't get the responses you wanted from the corporate or accounting team, or whether it's the on-site team or the maintenance team that isn't functioning to full capacity, you know, as a manager, I think the manager position who needs to guide and start that conversation on how you want to run your business.
And so on a property level, when you're talking about a team, how far down the chain do you get involvement? You have at a property where you maybe have two or three maintenance techs, you've got a porter, maybe a housekeeper type of position. Is it beneficial to get their involvement and to get their ideas?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, sometimes your maintenance team is, you know, they're on the ground, they're inside the apartments, they're seeing what's going well and not going well, they're seeing what the complaints are maybe that you're residents have that you can't see on a day-to-day basis. So maybe you don't have a team that is conducive or an environment that's conducive to bringing them in and asking them things. Maybe, you know, your porter is like, I'm not going to give you what's wrong with the property. No way. You know, you can do that in an anonymous way too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Let's five pieces of paper and write down what you think is wrong or type what you think is wrong. And let's talk about what those are and how we can do better. And having an open brainstorming session on what can be improved without judging.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's hard for people to take criticism, but if any time is the right time to do that, to set the stage for the future, I think this is a great time to do that. Everyone's, you know, feeling holly and jolly and having a good time. Maybe they're getting annual bonuses. Maybe they're getting holiday turkeys, whatever that is. Maybe they have a little bit of spiked eggnog. Is a good time to kind of talk about what they think the challenges are that you can foresee in the future. You know, with turnover on properties, it's important that you make every member of the team feel like they're contributing. You know, Jay Turner, Satisfax, they all do surveys on what makes employees happy and what grows engagement. And, you know, one of the top three is always feeling like you make a difference and education.
Yeah.
And so making sure that your people feel educated and that they feel part of the process and that they feel engaged in the process instead of just doing their job. Is important, and it provides you a good opportunity to start fresh.
Right.
Or I wouldn't say erase all the negative things that happened the previous year, but certainly have an opportunity to re-engage your team, kind of make a fresh start on how you can do that. Hopefully you've made some good decisions in your budget processing where you've got some financial incentives or ways that you can grow that engagement. Or, you know, maybe if you know that team involvement is a problem and you have positions that you may want to restructure or change in the future. Hopefully you've planned for that in the budget process and setting out, you know, a good 12-month calendar of those key areas. You know, I don't think you can set out week by week, but you can say, okay, February is the month we're going to focus on making sure that it's, you know, resident appreciation month.
Right.
And we're going to do whatever we can to bring our surveys up. And, you know, March is going to be team building and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that the team's involved. Setting up key times when you can focus on that and having one or two activities ahead of time, I think is really, really important to make sure that you're growing in the future. You know, whenever you listen to this, if it's 2019, 2025, you know, you never know what's going to happen with the market. And
right.
So looking at what your rental rates are now and planning for that in the future is going to be important too. Not only employees, but seeing where you're going to be in a stressful market is important.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, you brought something up, and we've got a little bit over a minute and a half left, but you brought something up about, we were talking about the on-site manager talking about how they can improve and things that need to be improved upon from the current year to the next year with their team. But you also mentioned corporate, you know, for the corporate office. So let's say a manager identifies some things that could flow a little bit better from the corporate, and she's the one or he's the one who is initiating this thought process and this exercise. How do you suggest they discuss it with corporate?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
So depending on what your level of interaction is, you know, some, I think, on-site people feel like they have no say in what happens at the corporate office. And that's really not the case, right? We can affect how we react to things. And so if you're repeatedly having a corporate office that calls you demanding things that you initiate it right then, finding a way to make you part of that solution, I think, is important. So we can go a little bit more into that, too, from a corporate perspective, I think, after the break.
We'll do that. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily ducks in a row, starting the new year off the right way. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran and industry educator Stephanie Graves, CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. I do want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, you can go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Stephanie, before the break, we were talking about when an on-site team is going through the process of looking back at the year, trying to identify the things that maybe could use improvement, not only at the property level, but maybe how information and the relationship with the corporate office flows. You said it could be kind of tough. Let's talk a little bit more about that. What kind of hints can you give to our listeners?
Sure. I think, you know, there's accounting and your supervisor and, you know, kind of just maybe you have a marketing department at your corporate office. And so sometimes I think people at the corporate office may have never even been on site before. Mm-hmm. And so they're accounting and they're doing things and all they know is that they need to check the box and get what they need done. And so bridging that communication with them and helping them understand, I would invite them to the property and kind of let them see what happens on a day-to-day basis. And hopefully you can kind of work with your supervisor on that to make sure that people understand and that they can see what happens. Because I think sometimes they just don't even realize that you've got 15 people, mm-hmm. you know, addressing you at one time and that, you know, they're sitting there doing what they can do, but you've got residents that come in, you're in the middle of a budget budget meeting or a budget worksheet, or maybe scanning those invoices that were due to them, and a resident has an emergency or something that needs to be handled. So helping them see what life is like on both ends, I think, is helpful. And I think a supervisor or someone from both ends could kind of help with bridging that gap. And then also kind of setting the standards on how you're going to react to the things. We started in our company not too long ago where, you know, subject lines in emails are really, really important, and making sure that you, if an email, we get so many emails. Yeah. I mean, you know, like right now, I think I have 65 emails in my inbox, right? And so unread. And so, you know, if you can find a way to make sure that you prioritize that instead of just putting an important flag, but, you know, need response by in the subject line, I think that helps a great deal. And so on the site level, if you can institute that where you're asking, you know, I have 25 emails that you sent me today. Could you let me know in the subject when you need it by? Because that way it'll help me prioritize it.
Right.
And make it about you having the issue and not necessarily that team having an issue. You know, it takes a humble person to be able to say, I'm the problem, not you, even when you're not.
Right.
So that way it helps you do better at your job, and it helps them be more satisfied with your performance.
Right.
So bridging that gap, I think, with the corporate office is important, making sure that you know the priorities and they know the priorities.
You know, we also, you had mentioned in the last segment, when you're planning, you know, education. To me, you know, there's lots of ways you can get education. I know you do teaching and going for companies. There's others that do that, as well as the associations, the apartment associations in different markets provide NAA courses and coursework and so forth. Is there some planning that you would recommend for instance, a manager would want to say, okay, my team, I've got this maintenance staff, I've got leasing agents, what kind of training can I get to make them better and make our entire team better? And then how would you go about finding out how to do that?
Sure. So there's probably three or four things that I think that every company, no matter how the size, needs to focus on. And so one of them is fair housing. Mm-hmm. Planning for annual fair housing training every year is a must, right, no matter what your size is. To me, that's risk mitigation, right? And so if someone files a fair housing complaint against you and you say, I've trained my team, these are our processes, your case is more likely to be recognized as something that you're doing something with, instead of, I have no idea what they said.
Right.
So a fair housing class every year is very, very important. The other thing that I think is very important is sexual harassment or just harassment class.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using any sort of payroll system or a Paychecks or ADP or PaySphere is what we use, they usually have some sort of online training for that basic sexual harassment class.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you can get that for fairly free, you know, not much at all. But I think it's an annual thing that, you know, we certainly require our employees to have, again, a level of protection.
Right.
And it sets the standard that it's not something that you will accept to happen. So I think those two classes for sure are something that you need to plan for and put on the calendar and make sure that you're doing it annually, just for protection. And then, you know, the local apartment association is amazing in the level and the depth and the amount of classes that they offer. And so they put out their calendar at the beginning of the year, so you will know when the training classes are for the entire year.
Right.
And so every year we get that calendar, and every year I take about, you know, a couple hours to sit down and add every single one of those training classes to my calendar so that I know when they are. You know, I'm a firm believer in Outlook or some sort of managing calendar that can remind you of things.
Right.
And so utilizing those reminders, you know, I usually set my reminders about a week before the class so that I can plan for it if I haven't. But if you can get the dates down, then you can kind of work on that budget, right? And figure out where they can fit in and where, you know, you don't want to send out maintenance people in June, July, or August to go take a CPO class or certified pool operator or to take a fair housing class because they're probably going to be busy with AC calls.
Right.
So planning for that now and figuring out, okay, when can we fit in his, you know, his education or my education or their education so that it fills the need of what we have, I think is really important. There's lots of online courses. Multifamily Insider does an online webinar Wednesday that you can do inside your office that has great topics. This show, you can do archived. You know, maybe you just have a Monday meeting where you sit down and do a 15-minute spiel on something. The other thing that we do monthly, which I think everyone should do, is safety classes.
Right.
And so whatever those things are, whether it's heat stroke or walking under a ladder or how to handle, you know, safety equipment, whatever those things are, having a monthly meeting where you show that safety is important to you and your company and your property, again, risk, that's risk mitigation for me. I feel like, you know, when you're making people aware that there's a safety concern, that it brings your attention to it, that you're taking responsibility for that, so that if there ever is an accident on your property, you can say that, you know, well, we went over this in February that we shouldn't be making keys with no goggles on.
Right.
Right. Or pouring paint, you know, pouring bleach into chlorine or whatever that is.
Right.
So that certainly helps a great deal.
Now, when you were talking about fair housing, for instance, to what extent do you send people to class? Is it manager, assistant
Everyone.
Manager, leasing
mm-hmm.
manager?
And maintenance
too goes.
Yeah, maintenance too. You know, there's online options. There's, you know, the Grace Hill that's kind of merged
sure.
with other, I don't even know what it is right now,
yeah.
but there's online options that you can buy the classes by the single class, or you can subscribe to do a certain number a year that you can budget or you can have as a minor cost. For what it is. And then, you know, the apartment association does a fair housing class every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so budgeting for those, and every member of your team, maybe you can't send maintenance because it's too pricey, find an alternative option for that. And maybe it's the manager goes and then provides a smaller version of it for the team.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe it's not a certification program, but they understand that, you know, work orders are done in the way that they're called in. You don't do other work orders when you're inside of someone's apartment that aren't on the sheet, or whatever those basic policies are within your company that would directly relate to fair housing. Making sure that your maintenance is part of that is very, very important.
What about supplier partners? Do they offer training
yeah.
for I guess if there was a maintenance team and it was a company that supplied maintenance supplies, they probably have.
But absolutely.
What's your experience been with that?
Yeah, you know, Maintenance Supply Headquarters and HD both do free training classes.
Mm-hmm.
They have facilities in Houston and they do free training classes. And I know that they do that across Texas.
Right.
And so making sure that you talk to your rep about when those classes are offered. They do maintenance for managers. They do appliance classes. Making sure that your team understands that you're open to them going. You know, I think I've had maintenance personnel that were like, I didn't know that I was able to go. And
mm-hmm.
they're afraid to ask because they, you know, they're afraid to be told no. So making sure that you have those on the calendar. And I think setting an expectation as a manager that your team is required to attend additional education is very, very important.
Yes.
Because you need to make sure that you're growing your people. Right. If you're losing people, it's probably because they're not stimulated. They don't feel like they're engaged in things. And sometimes they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And staying up on the latest things is really, really important.
What do you think about giving responsibility to certain people? For instance, when you're talking about safety training, if you made your lead maintenance tech the safety officer and that he was responsible for doing a topic each week or working with, as opposed to the manager doing it all.
Sure.
Do you feel like that kind of makes them feel it gets better buy-in, I guess.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of delegating those responsibilities with awareness is important, because you certainly don't want to just say, okay, he's in charge of this and he shows up and he teaches something that doesn't make sense
right.
or that isn't helpful or that people think they've wasted their time or that puts him in a situation where he's not giving adequate information and he has to be corrected.
Right.
So making sure that you're involved in that process and giving them the tools they need to be able to do that is important. And so again, many, many payroll companies have safety information that will comes out once a month.
Right.
On the OSHA's website, OSHA has monthly safety tips that you could say, okay, the monthly safety tip is gonna be on, you know, heat stroke. Here's a guide, here's kind of the tools that I want you to go over. Use your own stories and experiences and let's talk about what this looks like, and I want you to kind of run the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing. I think it helps grow your people and puts them up to the next level. To be able to do that presentation. We have someone within our company that handles that for the entire team.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I also would imagine it allows them to take pride in the fact that they've got another responsibility that you trust them
yeah.
you know, with. So mm-hmm. so I think. All right, well, we're going to take a break and we're going to be back with our next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters. Thank you.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of multifamily ducks in a row, starting the new year off right. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran and industry educator Stephanie Graves, CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enhanced products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Stephanie, we talked a little bit in the first segment about when you're planning for the new year, you're getting ready to kick it off in the right way, setting up a calendar. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that if someone really took that to heart, they would be a pretty busy-looking calendar.
Yes.
For all the things that plan. What are some of the things that you think are important to put on a calendar?
Sure. You know, we live in Houston, mm-hmm. and so hurricane season's important. So we have, we kind of set up our calendar on an Outlook perspective. And so we'll print out kind of what the previous year looked like and then redo those things for next year. So making sure that you have all the tools necessary for hurricane preparedness is important. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens in June, and it's from June to December 1, which is a crazy amount of time. So putting that on the calendar, I think, is really important. Making sure that you kind of refresh what you're, you know, we talked about budgets. And so you're setting forth your budget for the whole year. And when you have CapEx items that you're going to address, like tree trimming or, you know, painting or siding or anything that you're going to do on a CapEx perspective, setting those things up and making sure that you can address them in a timely manner. If you have March as the time that you're going to be doing cutting your trees, you need to plan that for February. And so setting that up as a 4-week reminder to get bids and make sure that that's taken care of is important. Making sure those are on your calendar. Making sure that the reviews, if you do reviews for your employees, are on your calendar. We try to do birthday cards and anniversaries for all of our team members, and setting those up for reminders is really important. The other thing I think sometimes we forget about until they expire are fire extinguisher inspections that you need to do, sign permits that need to be renewed, solid waste that needs to be renewed, boiler inspections, anything city-related or inspection permit-related, really important that you get those on your calendar. The other thing we've talked about on the show before is washateria or laundry contracts.
Yes.
Some of those laundry contracts are 10 and 15 years, and they have a very specific time frame on when you can renew or when you can cancel those. So reviewing those contracts on an annual basis and making sure you know when that expiration process is important because they could auto renew for 5 and 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So setting those up on a calendar reminder is really important.
And I imagine that all of your annual contracts or contracts that are on a property, whether it's landscaping or any of your other contracts that you would have, that you want to know when you're canceling or when the contract term ends, so that if you do want to get bids from other supplier partners, you have an opportunity to do that prior to that, and you're not stuck with having to go into another year if it does auto renew.
Sure, yeah. I think, I hope the, you know, most of us in the multifamily industry and most of our supplier partners have kind of opted for 30-day outs if anybody's not happy. And so you certainly don't want to be in a contract with someone that you're not happy with. And so hopefully you've reviewed your contracts ahead of time to make sure, but maybe you've purchased a property and you're in that contract. It's important that you understand how those terminated, when they terminate. AT&T contracts for phone service.
Right.
All of those are really important that you really look at when those are and have those on your calendar. And then when you're going to start other special events, like, you know, in the summer, maybe you have preventative maintenance, making sure your preventative maintenance is on the calendar so that you can start that process. We're going to do building one air filters on this date, building two on this date. We take over and inspect properties all the time and find that those are things that just don't get done.
Right.
And if they're on the calendar, it provides some sort of accountability that, you know, it's hard to just hit ignore five times and get it off the calendar when you have it. So setting up, you know, I don't think anybody goes into the new year and says, gosh, I really hope that this year is worse than last year. I want to be confused. I want my property to not perform. And you know what? Who cares about collecting that money and leasing those apartments? You know, nobody really wants to do that. And so really, you know, setting yourself up for success, this is the time to do that. You do it in your personal life. Hopefully everyone's running out and getting gym memberships so that they can get off all those Christmas pounds over the holidays. I think setting yourself up for success within this year is important. Take the time when you're not quite as busy in January to set up your calendar. And, you know, if it fails and it doesn't work in March or April, you know, then that's what you look at next year and say, okay, you know, in March is kind of when things went on a handbasket. So we're really going to work on what that looks like afterwards. But in order to do that, you really need to look and have an idea of what your successes were last year and your failures. Maybe if you're coming onto a new property, it's even better, right? It provides you an opportunity to say, you know what? I have no idea what you guys failed at last year, but these are the things we're going to really do well at and focus on.
You know, when one of the things that you mentioned was putting employee reviews on the calendar, I don't know if it would be helpful, but it seems like it could be. What if you did a review with all of your main supplier partners to say, okay, this is the way it was in the past year, and how can we improve upon this? These are the things that we're unhappy with or we've been unhappy with. How about, is there anything you've been unhappy with? You might find out that maybe the corporate office isn't paying them in a timely manner, and you need to, you know, try to help them get paid. But the point is that they really are kind of an extension of your full-time team, especially when you're talking about landscape contractors that protect your curb appeal at the site. So what do you think of that? Is that something?
Yeah, I think maybe a report card with your supplier partners is important. And, you know, they come in seeking, you know, some of them do. I think we have half and half. They come in seeking feedback, like how did we do and how's it going? And then there's the other ones that sometimes they don't want to ask the question because they know maybe they're not performing that great and don't want to bring it up. So asking your team members how they're doing in that process is important. Like, you know, are you having a good experience with the carpet installer?
Yeah.
Or are they late all the time? Or are they, and so from a corporate perspective, I think supervisors need to ask the managers and managers need to ask the maintenance and maintenance need to ask leasing. You know, maybe they're installing great, but they come in and they, you know, harass your leasing agent every time, right? Or maybe they come in on the weekends and they lose the keys.
Right.
So having kind of a review, if you're not doing that at the time of service, having a review at the beginning of the year with everyone, I think is a great idea and instrumental in making sure that those partnerships last a long time. And you know, we've talked again on this show many times about the supplier partner industry relationship.
Yes.
And really working with those professionals in the organization and within the association and within the profession to make sure that we're both getting what we need, and having a good solid relationship with supplier partners is one of those.
Yeah, and I think that probably if the manager initiated that conversation as opposed to waiting for them to initiate, they would certainly appreciate, the supplier partner would probably appreciate the fact that that this person's on top of it, and it's the kind of client that they probably would want to work with and make sure they're always happy.
Yes.
You know, obviously it's not in a demanding way. It's just, you know, let's compare notes and see where we all stand.
Yeah, I think any time you're talking about reviewing performance or looking at what's going to make you successful in the future, make you more successful, again, no one wants to do worse than they did last year. And so having those conversations and truly being humble about that, what that looks like, you know, hey, I call you the day before at 5 o'clock to get a carpet installed. I get it. You know, I need to do better at, you know, at working on my process for make readies. And having that sort of relationship with a partner is important, mm-hmm. and taking some degree of responsibility that, you know, maybe I'm not being the best customer. And so what do we make that look like? Because sometimes those supplier partners just take it.
Right.
Right. And they don't say, hey, you know, your guy's calling me at 5 o'clock to get a carpet installed the next day. Really? You called me at 5 o'clock and I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So those relationships and reviewing those for a successful relationship going forward is important.
What about looking for alternative supplier partners? When do you recommend doing that? I mean, obviously, if you're having a problem that can't be resolved, that would be one way that, or one reason why you'd want to do it, but to see what else is out there possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's trade shows and people can go investigate, but is there anything that, and I'm sure that you and your teams get inundated on a regular basis by people wanting to talk about doing business with you. So mm-hmm. how do you handle that?
You know, I think if you look at those relationships and say, okay, when is my slow time where I have the least amount to risk?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time to look at that and be like, okay, you know what? You know, I save all of those contacts under a vendor folder in my Outlook. And so as I'm looking for roofers, I'll Google, you know, roofers within my Outlook, mm-hmm. a search for roofers within my Outlook so that I can kind of see who else is out there. I think looking at the least, when you're least busy to try new experiences is a very good time to do that.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be slow in February, early March. You know it's not going to be quite as busy in November and December. Maybe those are the times that you put on your calendar that you want to, and you tell them that, you know what,
right.
We take on new clients in November. We're willing to take, you know, try a new supplier. Come back and see me in October and we'll see if we can get you a unit in November.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wonderful. Well, we are going to take a break and be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic, Multifamily Ducks in a Row, Starting the New Year Off the Right Way. And I'm Paul Marks, Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran and industry educator Stephanie Graves, CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. Stephanie, we touched on it very briefly. I'm going to bring up the B word, which is budgets.
Yes.
And, we've talked about the fact that most things when it comes to planning for the year revolve around the budget because that's what you can spend.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the budget. And when you're starting out the year, what do you suggest doing?
Sure. So hopefully in that budget process, you've looked at the previous year and seeing and have looked and noticed where those weak points are. Like, where have we spent more money that wasn't expected? Is it sheetrock repair? Is it carpet? Whatever that is. And you can kind of plan for that going forward and know those are hot topics that you're going to address. Also understanding that, you know, your budget is usually based on you have 100% of your units, right? And then usually you have like a 3, 5, or 7% vacancy ratio factored in that. So understanding that your budget is based on that occupancy level. So if you're budgeting for 95% occupied and you're 89% occupied, then you don't have all the money in your budget to spend.
Right.
Right. And so the difference between 89 and 95, that's the money that you should not spend. So
right.
Having read on those areas and overspending on those times is not good.
Right.
And then also, I think if you look at that budget from a quarterly basis, making those adjustments is important. So, you know, maybe you did overspend in February. So making sure that you're looking at that in March to know that you have less to spend in carpet cleaning than you did the previous month is important. But planning for that and understanding where those benchmarks are, you know, not only should you be looking at it from a financial perspective on how much you should spend, but you should also look at it from an occupancy standpoint. And so in this point, I'm supposed to be this much occupied. So helping the leasing team understand that, you know, there's an old adage in the industry that for every 10 calls, you'll get 3 appointments and 1 lease.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you need 10 leases, then you need 100 calls or inquiries to make it to that number. Helping them understand that I think is important during that budget process
right. And
where you are. And then lastly, on your budget, you're going to have CapEx items. So making sure that you're planning for those accordingly and knowing where those hit in your budget's important.
Now, the CapEx items, are they dependent upon the occupancy?
Sure.
So you may not be able, if your occupancy is down than what you would base the budget on, you may not be able to do all of what you would plan.
Yeah. You know, maybe you're doing a refi or maybe there's something, but, you know, like we budget to replace appliances that may not need to be replaced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll usually do 1 refrigerator every quarter, 1 stove every quarter, 1 dishwasher every quarter so that we have, you know, 4 refrigerators that we replace in a year. And so, you know, looking at that and understanding that maybe in the first quarter, I'm giving up to the end of March and I don't have anything that I've replaced. Well, some companies will say, okay, well, if you didn't spend it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Right. So understanding that maybe you have one that's been on life support for some time and how happy is my resident going to be when I say, you know what, I'm going to replace your refrigerator and get that one out of there and get you a new one.
Yeah.
Or utilizing that in that renewal process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't talk at all about what that budget looks like for renewals.
Sure.
But understanding what discounts you can give, what specials you're going to give. Think of how successful your year would be when you get all your renewal ducks in a row.
Right.
Right. And you've got all your renewal offers available. You're going to have a renewal party. You're going to figure out what you're going to do on an annual basis rather than, oh my God, I didn't renew anybody. I have to hurry up and get that done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smart goals and setting up that plan ahead of time is really important.
Yeah. And I think you have said on the show before that you start working on your lease renewal the day they move in.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that obviously that does take some planning, you know, to be able to, and that would be something you put on that same calendar, I mm-hmm. would imagine, too.
Yeah. You know, we try to have touch points with the residents that aren't only when their lease expires, but, you know, 2 days after they move in, 4 weeks after they move in, and then 6 months after they move in, we try to touch them at those points. So that way, when we come see them at 180 days or 120 days when their lease is expired, they're not like, who are you again?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen you in 6 months. Why do you want me to renew my lease?
Right.
So those are important things to think about and to consider. You know, in the 90s, we used to have a manual sheet of paper and we would do January through December and put everybody's name on when we were going to go see them. And, you know, now that's a little bit more automated and we do that on an Outlook perspective or we do it in our software. But I think sometimes the technology that we have also hinders us because, you know, if you're not an expert at Outlook and you don't know how to use it, then you kind of don't.
Yes.
And so I throw up my arms and people are like, well, what do you mean you don't have a Rolodex and you keep it in there? I don't even know what that is. So because we haven't necessarily invested in Outlook training or in software training, I think more and more as technology progresses, if you're not at least keeping up with it, then you're at a hindrance.
Yes.
Because then you don't want to write it down in a book because then I look like I'm not up with technology. Mm-hmm. But I also am not quite sure about how I'm using my Outlook. So instead, what do they use? Post-it notes.
Yes.
Right? All over my computer screen, which isn't necessarily a very effective way of making sure you're following up with work orders or following up with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked a lot about the manager's role when it comes to planning and all the things that they want to put on a calendar and all the things that need to get done throughout the year. Just let's switch for a second to like a supervisor's perspective. How do you recommend accountability, that they monitor that accountability from that manager, that they're getting those things done?
Sure. You know, the supervisor level, I say, is one of the most critical positions in the company because they have just enough power over the managers to be like scary, but not quite all the authority of the CEO, right? Mm-hmm. So they got to play that middle ground where they have to make people accountable, but they still have a boss that could possibly overwrite their decision. So having a strong structure of a corporate office supporting that supervisor in that decision is important. But I think the same thing that we do as a manager, we need to do as a supervisor, which is making sure that we're growing our team and that our managers are getting what they need done on a day-to-day basis and getting the tools that they need. You know, sometimes supervisors don't make it out to properties that are doing well, you know, for weeks because, you know, you have to spend your time on the ones that are struggling. And so if they're doing well, you don't want to mess anything up. But making sure that those managers feel heard and feel accounted for and monitoring that. And I think same thing, you know, you got to put deadlines on them. You have to make sure that you have, you know, we have monthly property checklists that we go through, bringing out those checklists and saying, okay, we dealt with your leases four times this year that we shouldn't have dealt with them. So what are we going to do to make our leases, you know, process better? What are we going to do to get our forms uploaded better? Looking at what you've done throughout the year is really helpful.
Okay. We also wanted to talk a little bit, I think, about the advertising and social media.
Yeah. You know, we're refreshing. So this is a great opportunity at the beginning of the year to take a look at your social media footprint. Take a look at your advertising. Look at your pictures on your websites. You know, if you're not looking at it on a day-to-day basis, see what everyone else is seeing when they're looking at your properties. Do you have pictures that are sideways? Do you have pictures that are bad lighting? You know, do you have a partner that can help you take those? There's so many tools that we can utilize nowadays to make ourselves look better online. And, you know, whether you're looking at apartment ratings or Google listings, what can you do on a monthly basis going forward to improve your score from last year?
Right.
Because people are looking at you online before they visit. And we've had people that have decided not to live somewhere because there was a bad review that they read. And so while you can't eliminate those completely, you can certainly mitigate that and try to respond as much as possible and ask for positive feedback. So setting up this year to have a plan on, you know, I'm going to work on getting 2 positive reviews a month, and I'm going to post 2 or 3 times a month. That way you're building up your online presence and hopefully lowering those negative responses to lower in the list if you're consistently putting positive things. There's a ton of tools you can use online to, you know, Facebook, Instagram, they all have timed releases of things. So you can schedule to have a Facebook post Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I'm doing it all on Monday. So I'm scheduling out the week or I'm scheduling out the month. You know, you could sit down for 1 week technically in January and schedule out all your social media posts for the next quarter.
Right.
And so really taking the time when it's a little bit slower to review those. And, you know, maybe you need to redo your pictures. Maybe you have all vacant pictures. You know, vacant apartments are not as attractive as, you know, models.
Right.
So maybe you're going to mini model them. Maybe it's a time that you have a vacant that you can get better pictures. And then if you can't do it now, scheduling that out to figure out when it is that you can make these advertising and this online social perspective look better than ever. I think it's a great time to do that. You've got hopefully a little bit of money in your budget, so you can budget for some of that. And make sure that your advertising is being addressed and that your photos and your online tools are being addressed. There's a couple other things that we do, I think, that are kind of like tips and tools. Yeah. One of them is we use a company that helps us with our resident parties. Mm-hmm. And so they come out and they set up your resident party, whether it's a renewal party or a new lease party or an open house. And so often the managers take that on or the leasing agents take that on, and they're busy entertaining and they're not signing leases or signing renewals.
Right.
So finding an outside company that helps with that is great. And they come in and they set up and they work the party and then they take down and they clean up and they leave. Mm-hmm. So that leaves your team to be able to do what needs to be done when they're on property, which is sign renewals, sign new leases, and make sure that your residents are feeling empowered.
Okay.
It's a great, you know, thing that we've done this year that we planned for, and we've done all the parties for the whole year. They're on the calendar ready for the next calendar year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So any other tips that you want to share?
My goodness, there's so many. You know, making sure that you're scheduling annual inspections, all of that on a calendar is really, really important. And I think the best thing you can do is sit down and invest in yourself. Right. Invest in your property, your calendar, and your people so that you can continue that and make this year better than last year.
So you've been on the show many times, and I know you've let all listeners know how you got started, and also how they can reach you. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and Q10 and how they can reach you if they want to.
Sure. So Stephanie Graves, I'm the founder of Q10 Property Advisors. We are a group of multifamily professionals that do third-party management as well as education, consulting, due diligence, kind of professional development, if you will, in the multifamily industry. We have been around for 5 years this year, although my partner and myself have been in the industry together over 50 years,
yes.
I think, which is a long time. So we're always available, offer tips. I consider myself kind of an open book. I'm happy to share whatever we can with anyone, because I really feel like we owe it to each other to make each other better at what we do when we, mm-hmm. when we service multifamily. So my email address is stephanie@q10pa.com, and you can find us online anytime you want, or hopefully in the studio.
That's right. Is it too early to make an announcement about your upcoming? Or?
Oh, no, we can do that. Yeah. So we are working on a multifamily immersion cruise that'll be leaving in September. It's a training event for multifamily individuals, and so you'll get some more information about that soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's never been done, I don't think, for the multifamily industry. It's going to be exciting. Hopefully some of our listeners will be able to make it and get some great training.
So, multifamily on water.
That's right, exactly. Well, it is multifamily, I guess, when you think about how the boat is structured.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Stephanie, for coming. I appreciate it, as always. We're going to be back next week with another great show, and you're listening and have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.